time together. Our Father, we thank you so much for your mercy to us each day. Time after time, as we come to study your word, you have been so gracious, wonderful to teach us and show us what your will is. So much, Lord, of your word we skip over. May we carefully meditate upon your word even this day. May it find root in our own hearts and lives. May it be, O Lord, that we would quickly run after righteousness, quickly run after all the things that you have told us to do, and running after you, our God. We plead, Lord, that you would bless our time. May it be profitable to our souls. In your name, amen. Turn your Bibles to Jude. I want to read verse 20 and 21. Jude 20 and 21. Jude says this, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Here in a closing exhortation to the people of God, Jude centers upon the command given in verse 21, where he says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." The command shows both the divine action of God and human responsibility brought together, where you are to keep in the love of God. The means of keeping is seen in verse 20, and we want to see the first means that Jude gives. He says, building yourselves up. Building yourselves up. He is talking to the people of God because he begins by saying, "But you, beloved, you who are truly of the Lord, you who belong to the Lord God and know him personally as your Savior, to you, this is what I am saying, and this is one means by which you keep yourselves in the love of God, building yourselves." Now, the word "to build" pictures the church as a temple. We know what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21 of that chapter. And Paul says in Ephesians 2 and verse 21, "In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord." There is this whole process of building, of being fitted together. The end of it all is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Building here can also be referred to as edifying, because edifying is that of building up the people of God. So Romans 15 and verse 2, here's what we read of the Apostle Paul. Romans 15 and verse 2. "Let each of us please his neighbor for his neighbor's good, leading," what? "To edification," that is, to building up. He again speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, he says, "Now concerning these things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." Love builds up. So this is what Jude is saying in this context when he says, "Build yourselves up." And he says to them, "Yourselves." Not merely individually, for we are all responsible to build on our spiritual life. But he is speaking here collectively as a church, to build up the church as a whole. You as the people of God are responsible collectively to build yourself up on your most holy faith. The church comes together, cannot be divided, but there must be a oneness. The false teachers that attack the church, verse 19, are ones who cause divisions and do not have the Spirit. We are collectively, as a body of believers, to labor together that we might spiritually grow. We have the attitude sometimes that, well, I'm responsible for my own life. So as long as I'm growing, that's all there needs to be. No. You are to look at the relationship of the body and realize that a responsibility of which is given to the people of God is that you labor together. Everybody involved. You remember Paul says in Ephesians where every joint, every part of the congregation contributes in some way to the growth, to the edification. You read in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." We are ones who are ministering to one another. We are ones who, as it were, are involved in each other's life. The concept of the church fails to see that. For in our day, everybody is an individual. You come to church, you sit, you listen to the preaching, you sing the songs, and then you go home. And there is very little communication, very little time of speaking with one another, of ministering to one another, of laboring with one another, that collectively as a church you might grow and become strong. This is the responsibility he gives to the beloved, building yourself up. You see, you cannot take the attitude of neutrality, and you can't take the attitude that you've ever arrived. There is always the necessity to continue building up, continuing to see the church mature and grow in grace. Never satisfied. When a congregation is perfect, then we can relax. Until that time, there is work to be done. And this is what the apostle Jude says here in verse 20. He's been dealing a lot with false teachers, he's been dealing a lot with heretics, he's been dealing a lot with those who would tear down the gospel and God's people. And so this really, really hits at the centerpiece of his desire for the people of God. Then he goes on to say, build yourself up on your most holy faith. Now the term faith here is used as it is in verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Faith, that body of truth, of what we would call the Scriptures, that which has been revealed to the people of God by God Himself. The Scriptures is the foundation from which we build. We take the bricks and we build this holy temple on the foundation of Holy Scripture. Building on the foundation has twofold dimension. On the one hand, we can say that the foundation of which we build is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, yea, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10 of that chapter, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it, but let each one of you take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. He is the one that we build upon. And the Lord Christ, He is the one, Hebrews chapter 1, where we speaks of the Lord have spoken in these last days. But now, it can also mean, in the second dimension, to be built on Holy Scripture. Notice Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians, the second chapter, Paul includes both dimensions here when he says, starting with verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostle and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Both dimensions being shown here. You're built upon Holy Scripture, upon the apostles, upon the prophets. That's the foundation. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for what? A dwelling place of God in the Spirit, the habitation of God, an awesome aspect of God's dealings with His people. Then in Colossians, the second chapter and verse 7, Paul mentions this. He says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Rooted and, here it is, built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, again, in Christ, in His Word, Holy Scripture, the foundation by which we are to grow and to labor. The Lord Jesus Christ being our chief cornerstone. 1 Peter 2, verses 5 and 6. And when Jude gives this exhortation, building yourself up on your most holy faith. He is saying to them, on your most holy faith. It's yours. It is that foundation which you are to build upon. You don't look for any other foundation. You don't go anywhere else. You don't go outside of Holy Scripture. It is your responsibility to contend for the faith. Now, why is Jude so insistent here and brings it to bear upon every believer? Well, because he has been dealing with those who are distorting the Word of God. Verse 17, he says, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ." You must remember, you must take hold of. These are the words, these are the foundation which you build up yourselves as a congregation. And it is your responsibility. Well, what's the problem, Jude 18? How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who are walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. This is what you're contending. And how many congregations have fallen and gone by the wayside because they have not built up themselves upon the foundation of the Word of God, but simply the rhetoric of men. They built up simply on the ideas of men, the traditions of men, and the whims of men. They've not been taught Holy Scripture. They've not read Holy Scripture and studied it to find out what God says. And therefore, the mockers get the upper hand. The deceiver and those that cause division get the upper hand. And pretty soon you have churches that are filled with ungodliness, calling them churches, but they're just simply synagogues of Satan. It cannot be. You must be careful. And therefore, this responsibility is a very, very important responsibility. It requires commitment to the Word of God, commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the first means in order to fulfill this command, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. You will not keep yourselves in the love of God if you ignore this very important duty of collectively building up yourselves on your most holy faith. But then he goes on and he says, pray in the Holy Spirit. You see, whatever you do in your spiritual life, whatever the church does collectively in growing, it is always in the context of prayer. Prayer. If you don't pray, if you're not a praying people, you will not grow and you will not be built up. It must be in the context of prayer. This is where we find the Holy Spirit working in the context of prayer. Those that oppose the church, as Jude has been talking, what does he say in verse 19? Not having the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit. They're going just upon their wicked, sinful hearts and desires. That's it. But when you are building up yourselves in most holy faith, you have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is called upon by way of prayer. Spirit doesn't work apart from a praying people. Praying. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, This is the work of the Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." If you are to be sanctified, if you are to believe the truth and get a hold of it and understand it and it becomes a part of it and you are built up upon it, it will be by the Spirit of God alone. It is the Spirit. It's not your good works. It's not because, well, I just decided now to get straightened up. I need to straighten up. I need to get right. I need to go. No. That can never happen. But all of it is by the Spirit of God. And what does the Spirit of God do? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, listen to the ministry of the Spirit of God in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, "But God has revealed them to us through" what? "His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man? Then he reasons, even so. No one, doesn't matter who he is, doesn't matter what his education is, doesn't matter where he's at, no one, absolutely no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. We know so little. And our building is so weak. We come with bricks that are not fully developed. We come with bricks that are broken and so forth. The building will not be very strong. What is the problem? The problem is that we do not pray for the Spirit. We do not pray for the Spirit. We do not plead before Him. The ministry of the Spirit of God is to intercede on our behalf. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Romans 8 verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." What a blessed ministry of the Spirit of God. We come to Him. We don't know what to pray as we ought. We don't understand what we need as we ought. We miss the mark many times. But He intercedes. He interprets for us. Groanings sometimes is all we can utter. We can't put it into words. But the Spirit of God knows, searches the heart and knows what the mind is of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The way that we keep ourselves in the love of God is by building up our spiritual life collectively as the body of Christ, in making sure that all spiritual bricks from which we build comes from the Word of God alone, and that we are building on the foundation of Christ, and by means of diligent prayer, we are pleading before God. Not simply a prayer, but Jude says praying, continuing to pray, continuing to beseech, an ongoing responsibility, and we never stop, not simply a prayer, but praying. No false bricks on any type of foundation, but will fall at the end. This is why our Lord, when He teaches His disciples, He says this as far as an illustration. Matthew chapter 7. He says in verse 24 of Matthew 7, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was built upon the rock of our Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation that is sure and true, and it stands throughout all the ages. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, does not do them, will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the house, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was his fall." Great was his fall because the fall ended them up in eternal destruction. Forever and ever lost. No foundation, not built upon Christ, foolish as they were. And of course, the issue is what Jude will be considering in verse 21. Keeping, as he says, yourselves in the love of God. Obedience as opposed to disobedience, as we shall see next time. But these two means are very important, vital, if you are to fulfill this responsibility, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. It's an urgent message. It's a message that is not preached in our day, nor is it seen in congregations, when we're always worried about numbers. We're worried about filling the pews. That's where our concentration is. We can say we're a successful church because we have 200-300. Jude says, no, you're not a successful church. You can be a false church at best. Listen to me, says Jude. The numbers, forget all of that. The issue is that if you are to grow, if you are to be established as the people of God, if you are, as it were, to be able to withstand the fiery darts of the devil and withstand all the false teaching and those that would seek to divide you, if you're going to be able to do all of this, must build upon the foundation of the Word of God, yea, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, exercise in prayer. We need to get to work. We need to get to work. How's the building coming? How far are we in the building? One layer of bricks only? Are we satisfied with one layer of bricks? You see, these are some of the questions collectively as a congregation we must face. We must search our hearts. What are we doing, as it were, to build each other up? Are we seeking to fellowship? And are we seeking to minister? What did we cover? The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians, when he says this in chapter 5 and verse 14. Now I exhort you, brethren. Now notice, warn those who are unruly. There's this activity. That's part of building up, is that those who are unruly, they must cease, they must stop. That cannot be. That's against the Lord Christ. Comfort the faint-hearted. The deceivers come in and they're grabbing different ones in the congregation. They're faint-hearted. They're not strong. They don't have the courage. They give in way too easily. Upholding the weak. Those that are simply babes in Christ. They'll, as a babe, you believe so much where you should not. Be patient with all. See, these are activities that are being given responsibilities. All of these responsibilities are part of those bricks that we bring and build upon a foundation that we might, as Paul so beautifully describes the church in Ephesians chapter 2, when he says this, 21, in whom the whole building being fitted together. Fitted together, not disjointed, not here or there, but there is this harmony fitting together. Grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now it's that temple, it's that congregation, it's that body of people that the Lord God descends in a peculiar way and makes that building, spiritual building, the dwelling place, the habitation of God. That's what you want. That's what you desire. Without God here, all is in vain. Without the Spirit blessing here, all is in vain. You hear what I said today, but it'll do you no good unless the Spirit of God brings it home to the heart. Do we pray before we come and meet together? For the Spirit of God to be present, powerfully working. That's why it's very good. We have a time of prayer, and Pastor John had mentioned to us we have to focus on these things, rightly so. This is where it's at. This is, without the Spirit of God working among us, all is in vain. You're not going to understand. I'm not going to understand. Well, I've been in the faith a long time. I can understand anything. Just give it to me. Understanding is not simply having it go through the mind, but it goes through the heart. It changes. That's understanding. You don't understand anything if it doesn't affect your walk, if it doesn't affect your growth. You don't understand anything. You got it all up in the mind. Well, who cares about that if it doesn't sink down into the heart, into the soul. So our duty is clear. Our work is overwhelming. But our guide is the Holy Spirit. And in Him, Christ will build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank You so much for Your mercy to us. Thank You so much, Lord, that You provide. You don't leave us to ourselves. You provide the means of growth, the means of building, the building blocks that come from Your Word. You give it to us. You show us, and You burn it into our hearts. We thank You. We praise You. We marvel at Your patience. What slow students we are. And yet, time and time again, You show Your mercy. And we do thank You and do praise You in Your name. Amen.